Hey, my beautiful friends, welcome to Spiritual Conversation, honest and joyful explorations of ideas to help us align with our true spiritual purpose, to integrate our material and spiritual aspects of our being, and to live our best lives. I am your host, Jacqueline Clare, spiritual realism artist, illustrator, and Enneagram guide, and mermaid of the airwaves, here to take your hand and go on some deep dives together. And one of the ideas that I love, art is part of this, and spiritual discourse is definitely part of this. Psychological, like depth psychology, is part of this. And it is this idea of holding hands and going through the darkness together. Sometimes you can't do it together, right? Sometimes God is your only companion and God is the best companion. But we're humans, we have physical bodies, we're material as well as spiritual. And it's nice to touch, right? To have somebody with you. And so I really love that symbol of us. We're going to get through this and we're not going to avoid the darkness. We're going to go through it and we're going to get to that light on the other side. And we're going to be more courageous human beings for having done so. We're going to be better people once we get to the light than we were before we set out. That's how I see it. And again, explorations like this, like going into the issue. And also art, you know, sometimes it's dark, but it's like for a purpose or, you know, research and investigation. Like we go through, the only way out is through. Right? So with that, September is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, and specifically this week, you know, whatever, in that sort of social media kind of way, but I'll take it, right? Any invitation to have these sort of conversations, I'll take, even if it's like kind of hashtaggy, right? Suicide Prevention Awareness Week. So this is a topic that has always been really important to me, and I'm going to share a little bit about that. And of course, now it's, I mean, even more of a crazy, crazy situation because the response to the pandemic has been so hard for so many people, right? With quarantine and isolation, instances of abuse, you know, domestic abuse have risen dramatically, and opportunities to share with outside people, right, to get help have been minimized. And then, of course, the isolation itself has been so difficult for people, especially young people, well, especially old people and young people, to not have a social network. And, you know, it's been really bad for children and all that stuff. You know all this. I'm just saying, now that we have this month where the door is open to talk about these things, just really keep that in mind, that we're living through heightened times and there are probably people in your own life, in your own neighborhood, right, who are struggling. And that's really where I want to go with this. My life has been touched a few times by someone taking their own life, as probably everyone listening has in some way or another. And one in particular was really, really impactful for me. And the distance that I had with the person, the fact that we weren't close, and to be fair, it's probably infinitely worse when you are really close. But in my case, the fact that we weren't that close makes the fact that now that it has been quite a few more years since the event happened than I was old when it happened, and it still impacts me, I think that's very significant, you know? So I'd like to take a moment to honor this a bit and share what the takeaway is And there is a takeaway. There's a very specific takeaway that we can all bring into our lives that will make our lives more humble and beautiful. So I have this photo, and I'll probably post it. I can actually link it in the description. I'll link the photo in the description, and I'll post it on my Facebook. And it's me in high school, and I think I'm laughing, and I'm laying on the gym floor with my friend Tori at the time. And it was like the second to last day of school. So we'd already taken our tests, and, you know, we were just sort of buying time. That's why we were laying on the gym floor. And there's a book by me, How to Make an American Quilt. And the photo was taken by the boy who the next year would commit suicide. And his name is Brendan. I'm not going to say the last name just out of respect for the family. But that was one of our most significant interactions. Like, he was in my geography class. And I remember him from, like, the first day of school. Because I'm a really deep person, I was scouting for, like, the cutest guys that I could find in my classes. You know, come on, I grew up watching, like, Clueless and stuff, right? That's what high school's about, right? It was freshman year. And I remember seeing him and pretty quickly making the assessment that he was a little too nerdy for me. But he was cute. I mean, like, he had a nice bone structure. And I remember him from, like, the first day of school. And then we had geography class, and we had just, like, very minimal interactions. But I was really sad that day, in the last day, second and last day of school. And I had recently had my heart broken in the first, like, semi-grown-up way, right? Like, high school dating way. And I had finally talked to my friend Tori about it. I had this sort of mindset that, like, I needed to be strong and I wasn't going to tell anyone, which is not a good idea. I think you should go vomit your heart out, frankly, when you're upset about things as soon as possible. Not in a way that causes conflict, but, like, get it off your heart, you know? Anyway, where I'm going with this is that I had held this burden. I finally talked to my friend, and there was a sense of catharsis, and we were laying on the floor in the gym. And this boy that I recognized from my geography class was walking near us, and he was just pacing. He was, like, just walking up and down the court dividing line. And I finally had this sense of catharsis from talking with my friend. And I noticed him, right? The scales were finally off my eyes, and I could see other people again instead of just walking around with my own pain. And I started, like, sort of teasing him, like, flirting with him. Like, what are you doing? Why are you pacing back and forth, you know? And he kind of, like, smiled and whatever, but, like, kept doing what he was doing. And so I laid in his path. And then he just went around me. But at least I tried to, like, disrupt his pattern. And then a little while later, I, again, because I'm a really deep person, was like, wow, we're, like, 15 years old, and we're beautiful, and we're in high school, and we're laying on the gym floor talking, and we should totally get a picture taken right now. This was in the day before cell phones, so I was really weird that I carried a camera with me. Actually, not just the last days of school. Like, I always carried a camera with me. And I said, hey, Brendan, would you come take a picture of us? And he came and took that picture that I have. And our last names are similar. So both our yearbooks, freshman and sophomore year, we are next to each other. So it's like for eternity in this high school timestamp, we're next to each other. And sophomore year, we didn't have any classes together, but we did have advisory class, so, like, orientation, and then whenever we'd take standardized tests. And I remember talking to him after this test. He was really smart. He was like destined to be valedictorian, and he finished really quickly. And I remember him turning around and talking to me and saying how easy the test was. And I think I was like, it was. But I remember him smiling, and he was just like a really beautiful person, you know? And it, of course, this has become significant, right? At the time, it was just an interaction, and he wasn't like cool enough for me to have a crush on, but he was like a beautiful person. And the day that we got the news that someone in our grade had, on Monday, the day before, walked home in the middle of the day down a busy street in San Antonio, went into his house and shot himself with a rifle. I felt really stunned and impacted by the drama of it. I didn't connect the name with the face. But when I went home and I looked in the yearbook, and it was just like, you know, my heart fell out of my body, because it was like that feeling that I think we always feel with death, when we're like, no, let's change this outcome. Let's change this outcome. Not that person, not that person. And what came back to me, and this is what I really want to share with you, was about 2 weeks before, I had been taking like an attendance slip to the office at school. I had a fairly big high school, and it was during class, so no one else was in the hall. And I was walking down this big open hallway from my classroom to the office. And I don't have the best vision when I don't have my glasses on, and there was this one solo figure in the hallway with me, walking towards me, blurry figure coming in closer and closer. And you know how it is when you're walking down the sidewalk or down a hallway and there's someone coming, especially if you can't really see them. It's very awkward. And it's like, oh, do I look at them? And if so, when do I look at them? Do I just keep looking at them as we approach each other? Or do I pretend like I didn't see them and then kind of, you know, it's like all that mental static of how is this going to reflect on me? What is socially appropriate right now? I feel shy. I feel whatever. So I'm walking down the hallway, and you know it's Brendan, right? Of course it was Brendan. And it was just us two in the hall walking towards each other. And I'll never forget, right? I remember us passing, you know, by a window. And once he came into focus and I knew who it was, it's like, oh, yeah, I didn't remember his name. But it was like, oh, there's that sweet guy from my geography class last year, from my advisory class, from PE last year. There's that sweet guy. That was the thought. That sweet guy with a nice bone structure who's going to, well, I'm going to tell you that part in a minute. There's that sweet guy. That was my thought. And I smile, like a shy, closed mouth smile, you know, an acknowledgement. But I didn't look in his face. And I most certainly didn't look in his eyes. I smiled and I kind of looked everywhere else but him. And we walk past each other. And I'm never going to forget that. I can't say it's like guilt exactly. And I can't say if only I looked at him, maybe this whole story would be different. But the truth is, we don't know. And we'll never know. And since then, I try never to let an opportunity to say hi and to look at someone. And if, you know, if there's enough familiarity, you know, look them in the eye and say hi, no matter how dorky it feels. Because obviously, I and hardly anyone knew what he was going through. And again, this was not someone who walked with like a cloud around them. It was a very sort of sunny feeling character, not gregarious, but sunny, just the smart, all-American, kind of dorky, but, you know, kind of coming into his manhood young guy. And who knew that he had the burden or the imbalance or whatever it was that led to him taking that action 2 weeks later. And so that's really what I wanted to leave you with. Like, it's okay to not be cool. And it's okay to be shy and awkward and socially inept and not know what to do. Just take the scales off your eye. You don't want 18 years later be thinking about how things might have been different if you had just said hello that morning. Let alone, right, in my case, let alone not only looking at him, right? Looking at him, saying hello. What if I'd stopped for 60 seconds? Said, hey, I haven't seen much of you this year. How are you doing? Right? So take this story and do something good with it. Who can you do that with? And life will surprise you. Who knows who it is? You might have someone in your mind like, yeah, I need to check on that person. And someone else is going to cross your path too. And you'll realize, oh, this is God. This is the universe saying, hey, look at this person. Talk to this person. Could be 7 years old, could be 70 years old. And for anyone who's struggling, and forgive me if this sounds kind of shallow, right? This story has all been about, you know, high school and silliness and stuff. And this is a shallow example of a bigger principle. But that first day in geography class, when I was, you know, doing my clueless scouting for cute boys, my distinct thought about him, I told you he had good bone structure. Kind of remind me of Alec Guinness. I know I got weird taste, but Alec Guinness bone structure. But he, like, his socks were too high, and he was obviously a nerd, so it wasn't quite what I was looking for at the time. But I had a very crystalline thought that, like, well, like, no for now, but when he grows up, he's going to be really hot. That was literally my thought. And I know that's silly. But what I'm pointing at here is obviously what you look like, and especially when you're that young, what you look like is all what God gave you, right? It has nothing to do with your character or how you've taken care of yourself. But you don't know your potential. And you don't know the potential that other people see in you. Random people who don't hardly even talk to you, right? Who see something beautiful in you, who see potential in you. And it wasn't just physical, it was also that he was really smart. He was really gifted. And he didn't stick around for anyone to get to know that future version of him. And what if he had, right? What if he had made it through what he was struggling with? It's very possible he would have been not only handsome and smart, but he would have been others because he'd made it through what he was struggling with and he'd learned some things. So just hold that vision of yourself. If you have ever contemplated suicide, or if you've just contemplated dying a little bit, like showing up less because it's too hard to show up all the way. And I think that's a lot more common. Remember, the only way out is through. You can get there and you will be better for it. And so will other people. That's my message for you guys today. I wish you a very conscious, unified, and joyful month of suicide prevention awareness. a lifetime of it. But again, this month we're focusing on it. And what I mean by joyful is connection and outreach. And the spiritual happiness and significance that will come from that, whether you're reaching out because you are in need or reaching out because you want to give. Please do that in your own humble, dorky, beautiful, unique way. Please do that. Thanks for listening, my friends. If you'd like to book some one-on-one time to explore more of your spiritual blocks or personal or relational challenges that you are going through right now, you can book some time with me one-on-one online for Enneagram and spiritual consultation. I have sessions that are as little as 15 minutes if you just need a little nudge, or up to an hour, or packages if you want to work through some things long form. So you will find that in the description, in the show notes for this episode, and I would love to spend some time with you. So check that out. If you want some soul nourishing fine art, you know you can always visit my website, JacquelineClaireArt.com, which is also in the description. And if you're moved to support this podcast, there are many options, two of which I've just mentioned, and also you can become an ongoing member of my Patreon community, or you can offer one-off donations on PayPal. All the links are in the description, and everything is appreciated, and I love this being a community endeavor. All right, my friends, until next time, I wish you the best for playing your unique part in making this world a brighter and more beautiful place. Catch you next time.